Welcome to the Powered by Transova podcast, where Transova team members and industry experts will cover how our reproductive toolbox of embryo transfer, in vitro fertilization, sorted semen, and cloning technologies can multiply the success within your livestock breeding program. Throughout our series, we will also cover a wide array of topics such as frequently asked questions, management and care advice, as well as client and location highlights.
Welcome back to the Powered by Transova podcast. Emily here today, and we are at the World Dairy Expo 2022, Madison, Wisconsin. Sitting here with me is Mike Creek, our operations manager, director, from Maryland. Mike, for anybody that doesn't know you, maybe tell us a little bit about yourself.
Director of operations for Transova Genetics. I've been with the company for 7 years. Family's exhibited at World Dairy Expo for the past 22 years. I've been coming here since 1998, something like that. So yeah,
wow.
long time in Wisconsin, or a long time Madison World Dairy Expo attendee. So yeah.
Yeah, and so Mike, maybe as somebody that is involved in the dairy industry just from your family side and your dairy that your family owns and you show cattle here too, maybe talk a little bit about how important Transova services are to the people that come to World Dairy.
One of the great things about coming to World Dairy Expo as a Transova employee is getting to see all the clients that we work with, but also getting to see the results of a lot of our labor. Many of the cows and animals that walk through the ring, cows and heifers that walk through the ring, they were made or worked through our system. Embryo transfer and ART has become so prevalent in our industry and so important to farms' marketing programs and sales programs as an extended form of their revenue generation, those type of things. Coming here and getting to see cows that you see on the schedule a lot or calves out of cows that you see on the schedule a lot, it certainly gives a lot of meaning to what we do every day.
Yeah, definitely. Just from when I was an embryologist, you know, you see certain cow names or cow families come across the lab, and getting to see them out on the color shavings from my microscope to show arena is pretty cool.
Yeah, the Rosiers, Blexi Goldwins of the world, and those type of cows, Snickerdoodles and Delilahs, and that work through our system, and you get to see their offspring perform. It's pretty remarkable, and really one of the real great parts of the job.
Definitely. So we've had a great week so far. We're at the end of it, but we got to connect with some of our new Urus family and connect with clients at our first ever reception, see our team. And now today we're watching the Holstein show, and maybe talk a little bit about what we're seeing and what your thoughts on the quality of cattle here this year, because they broke records with the number of entries too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, cattle numbers are up at World Dairy Expo. The 4-year-old class is coming in the ring. We just finished watching intermediate champion, a really remarkable red senior 3-year-old, decided to show in the black and white show this year, and was able to not just win her class, but be intermediate champion. The quality has been outstanding in every show. And I think one of the great things that we have been able to see is whether we're watching this outstanding Holstein show, or whether it was the Guernsey Heifer and Cow Show earlier this year or earlier this week, or the Jersey Show or what have you, is just how incredible these animals are. But for somebody that's been watching these shows for years and years, and I've seen lots of generations move through this ring, up to 4 to 5 generations of cattle, offspring out of the same cattle, move through this ring. Just the quality of cattle and the depth of the classes and that quality in it, it's a real reflection of not just these breeders and what they've been doing as far as mating their cattle and getting them out and taking care of them really well, but it really highlights the genetic gain that they've made. It's for a guy that sees both sides of the show ring and then works in the genetic industry, to see just exactly how amazing and how far some of these cows have come, how different they are than they were back in 20 years ago, it's just remarkable.
Yeah.
And it's always great to come here and see how these breeds are advancing and how fast things are moving.
Yeah. Well, and shameless plug, that wouldn't be possible without embryo transfer and IVF.
Yeah, absolutely. If you went through the book and looked up ET, I think you'd see it behind a lot of names in every class, or ETV. And that's just that's the nature of the beast. Is how do you make one of these great cows, like the red cow that just won the senior 3-year-old class? How do you, you know, not just spread her genes around, but how do you maximize her potential in your herd and and those type of things, or in the owner's herd, or how she can affect the breed? It's just multiplied so much by the use of Advanced Repro.
Yeah, definitely. So we just saw a red Holstein win intermediate champion. How, that doesn't happen very often, does it?
Of the black show, not at all. in fact, in my time coming to World Dairy Expo, that's only the second time I've seen a red and white Holstein win a class in the black and white show. And one of the cows that actually worked through our system a lot, the Transova system a lot over the years, was the last one to do it, and that was Regiment Apple. And Apple was, I remember when she won the junior 2-year-old class here in the black show, and it was, and seeing her in the barn, just a remarkable animal. And the 3-year-old that just won today, regardless of color, but just a remarkable red Holstein that won today, the senior 3, and was intermediate champion today. And that's really, she's out there on that extended end of the bell curve there to be able to do something like that, to come out here in the black show and compete.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you brought up Apple, because that was going to be my next question, if Apple had ever done that. And we were talking to John Erbson earlier this week. He came by the booth, and he got to talk a little bit about Apple and how prevalent she still is today. And I think he's got some generations from her family in the barn today, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, John won the Klusendorf Award earlier this week, yesterday. So basically, he's and rightfully so. He's basically been inducted into the Hall of Fame of cattlemen here at World Dairy Expo. So his knowledge of the Holstein breed, but him breeding Apple, working with Apple, and then breeding resulting offspring. I mean, the Grand Champion cow last year, Shakira, went back to his breeding as well. But John understands the power of reproductive technology, of IVF, and the value it builds. He's seen it himself. Apple was a cow that sold through a lot of money at one point after she had already claimed a title in the black show. And it was the use of advanced reproductive technology that allowed those people to not just recoup their investment, but they all made money on that investment. And that's not possible without embryo transfer and IVF work.
Yep. Yeah, most definitely. Well, it's like Diane says too, that when you have that once in a lifetime cow, you have to really take advantage of some of the services that are made available to you to maximize on that.
Well, I mean, just as a farmer, if you don't take advantage of that, you feel like you're being a little wasteful, right? I mean, we were lucky enough that a cow we bred and then sold as a young calf that was a result of embryo transfer work was a champion of the Ayrshire Show this week. So, I mean, whether it's me personally in my professional life or me personally in our home farms, marketing and breeding development, you know, we were able to use the technology to benefit and to spread those genes around. Yep. So
definitely. Yeah, that's all great stuff. So the cows are still filing in. Who's the one to watch out here?
The 4-year-old class is always a great class. It's a class that's usually filled with a lot of the contenders from last year that won different 3-year-old classes. By the time cows are turning 4, you're getting a really good look at how their development is going to peak out, or where their peak development will hit, you know? And obviously the idea is that they continue to show, but when they're 4, you have an idea of what you have on your hands or what you have to work with, not just to show with, but how you're going to breed them or how you're going to work with them. But out here, there's a lot of great cows. Turbo, that was intermediate champion last year, is going to be out here today. She's just a remarkably balanced cow. and Have Not, the King Doc, is kind of, she just came in the ring. She's just got a remarkable rump structure, mammary system as well, just long bodied, super dairy, and not to mention she's genetically one of the superior animals in the barn right now, and that's why she sold for so much money this summer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those would be the two.
Gotcha. Well, maybe we'll make a paper airplane and throw it down there to the judge and let him know, hey, you got to pick those.
Well, Pierre is judging an awesome show today. I just and last night even at Heifer Class, the animals he's picking and the animals that are making it to the top of the class, just outstanding. You have to admire the type of cows that Pierre likes. He likes the square framed, well balanced dairy cows with excellent mammary systems and feet and legs. Really, really love how he looks for those cows with front ends and strength, that dairy strength. And yeah, I mean, here comes a cow here, 4556, just a cow that's also was out and worked earlier this year. Really nice cow. And she certainly could be up near the top of the line. So I hopefully by the end of the class, Turbo and the King Doc have not made me look like a liar, but there's lots of great cows up here that could be that could be in the top spot by the end of the class.
Yeah, very stiff competition. I would not want to be the judge out there. Talk a bit about as a past World Dairy judge, the pressure of judging at this level.
I think the biggest thing, at least for me, and this could be wrong, is making sure that you drown out the exterior noise, all the hype, all the extra talk, you know, about the cows or what's going on. You really focus on what cows look best, what looks good. So the pressure really is that you want to do a good job for the exhibitors that voted you into the position in the first place. It's you want to represent their breed and that show with a lot of respect, and you want to make sure that that you're concentrating and working through the show in a way that they're going to be happy with at the end of the day. You know, to judge a show of this size and to do close inspection on 34-year-old Holstein cows takes a lot of time and a lot of effort, but each one of these people paid a lot of money to bring these cows out and bring them into this ring today. They've done a lot of work, not just in the barns the last week but over the last year, just to get these cows here. And one of the biggest things is to respect the exhibitors, respect the show, to try to give everyone a fair look, and then to judge the show with integrity, which I don't think has ever been an issue here.
There's how many in this class? 30? Or maybe more.
30, yeah.
I don't. How do you even like keep them straight? I mean, obviously he takes his time, but I mean that's a lot to have to sort through.
Yeah, I mean, there's big classes of 30, 40 head. When they first come in, you at least for myself, you take a deep breath and say, "Man, there's a lot of cows out here." but really, once you start sorting animals or doing close inspection and then looking at the animals, you start to pick out the ones you like. And then after that, it really becomes about sorting and being honest with yourself of what you like and what looks good, and then just working through the class as you come. So I tried to concentrate on getting my top five in, then getting my top 10 in, and then working from there. And if you do those things, it's really remarkable, and especially because of the staff here and how they organize the show, it's really remarkable how much easier it actually is than it looks. Mm-hmm. That's not to say it's, you know, anyone can do it, but definitely if you're a judge that's judged a lot of shows and spent some time in the ring, it comes to you pretty naturally. Yeah. Because these people do such a good job at World Dairy Expo.
Yeah. Well, you just judge them one cow at a time, right? And yeah.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah. But you're right. Just from the organization of this whole show, it's so well put together. They're on top of things. They communicate, and it's very, very well done, I think.
Absolutely. This is top notch. It's going to be hard to imagine a show ever gaining the. Not just the respect or the importance of this show, but to meet the level that they've set, the expectation of what a World Dairy Expo, what an international cattle show actually should be like when you exhibit there.
Yep.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Turbo's getting, had to use the restroom there in the middle of the ring. So the kids from the Badger Dairy Club are cleaning her up. Really love those guys too. I got to be honest, when you're out in the ring and having the Badger Dairy Club out there is always nice. Mm-hmm. Your cow, you might be at other shows and the cow gets a little dirty and that's just how you're going to live with it. But they clean them up. They make sure they put on a top notch competition here and just wonderful showmanship as well.
Yeah.
So Turbo's right underneath of us right now. Just One of the things about this cow that makes her really remarkable, and I don't know if she's a winner today or not in this class, because the docks come in two cows back here, and but she just has a remarkable set of feet and legs and a turn of foot that's quite outstanding. And you really love how straight she is across her top, but also how deep-ribbed she is to go along with the balance of her frame. So that's how well she's balanced width to length to height. To utter depth, how she looks out in the ring, the style then is we like to say something we pay extra for.
Right. Yeah, she definitely has a ring presence about her, and as a beef person, I can even see that. Yeah.
A dairy cow, some of the ones out there, but these dairy cows, if they've done this enough, they really start to enjoy it, and they certainly understand what it means to perform or what we're trying to do. So after a while, after they've had plenty of training to lead one of these cows, sometimes these cows lead themselves. They know what they're doing. They don't know how or why they get to first, but they're trying real hard to get there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, I think last year when they were picking the Supreme Champion, I think Shakira was falling asleep. I think she was. She's just like, I'm over this. Like,
yeah. Hey, Shakira, when we judge Supreme Champion, we judge down in the sale tent before they come out here. So, the close inspection by all the expo judges of all the champion cows is already completed, and Shakira definitely was chewing her cud after having shown all day. She was pretty chill, at least from what I saw when we were back in that tent. She kind of knew that something that she had done her job, but she knew that she still had something to do. So she was taking it easy, kind of like an athlete or a thoroughbred, you know.
Yeah.
So,
right. Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. Even Delilah, the brown Swiss, for as big as cow as she is, she floated across the shavings. I felt like when we watched her show.
Delilah was easy. It was one of those easy cows as far as the way she walked, right? And moved through the ring, and she was a tank.
Yeah.
And I was in the ring with her quite a few times with Ruth, when we'd go out for Supreme and Delilah, you always went out there and was like, man, Delilah, for as big as she is, she just takes us so easy.
Yeah.
So
graceful.
That's right. Kind of like the doc that's just went past us here. And I'll be honest, Pierre, it's got to be a lot of fun to judge a Holstein show, but Pierre's got quite a choice today, because I've seen about three or four cows go past us now that are all pretty incredible. Yeah. So the King Doc looks every bit of $1 million out here. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how the rest of the class goes.
Yeah, definitely.
Do we got a total number in the ring yet, Emily? I think we got, let's see, five. There's right at 30 here, maybe just short of 30.
30?
Yeah.
Yep.
The cow in front of us is a cow from Jacob's Farm, another beautiful cow that could get up the line here today. Beautiful udder on that cow as well. Mm-hmm. True dairy cow, really high-chined, long-necked, really cleaned off. Her hide's probably as thin as a piece of paper, but just a really nice cow as well that could end up the line. So, I think she sold earlier this year for six figures of something. So, So another one of those cows with a lot of investment in, but I'm sure we'll see her go through an IVF collection center somewhere.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there. I don't think there's one that I wouldn't want to maybe run an IVF cycle on out here, you know.
I think some of these cows trying to figure out how you improve them would be interesting.
Yeah.
But that's our job in genetics, is to look at the next generation. So, yeah. There's three or four cows out here. You wouldn't want to nitpick them too much, because I'd really like to find a way for them to find themselves in my barn.
Yeah, definitely. And that's the nice thing too about IVF is, you know, you before that, you AI and you have one calf from one bull and dam for a year, and then you have to wait a whole, you know, another cycle or to get another calf. But with this, you know, pick a bull one time, 2 weeks later you pick another one, and you got multiple options out of these great cows, and just to maximize the genetic potential on all of them.
Absolutely. And it allows you to get more, what I would call is more shots on goal. Mm-hmm. Because you don't have to wait the standard month to conventionally flush them all.
Yep.
You can utilize non-stem technology and run them every other week if you choose to, if they're a high producer, or you run them every other week and continually make embryos. And yep. The good thing about, you know, a shameless Transova plug, the good thing about our system is we look at our cows and the breeds of cows we're working with, and we take that into consideration a lot when we're working with those cows. So not every recipe is the same for every cow.
Yep.
And but the great thing is that cows like this, you're able to breed them back and continue to make embryos out of them to make more offspring, and they're continuing to be able to campaign, which campaigning in the show ring is how they maintain their value and continue to add marketability to your operation and to their daughter's value. It's really a unique opportunity for all of us, you know, to be able to use that technology to make a lot of calves. It's changed the show ring as far as how soon you see a great cow's impact start to take charge. Most of the time, when I was starting, a lot of those cows, you didn't see their daughters really start to come into the ring and that next generation start to hit until they were well into retirement. And now some of these cows are 3 and 4 years old when their daughters are coming, not just into the yearling heifer classes, but actually coming in and calving and showing as 2 year olds while their mothers are still campaigning as 4 and 5 year olds. That's just remarkable.
Yeah.
And something that was very rare before, but is really commonplace now.
Yeah, definitely.
The cow from Jacobs looks pretty good. I don't know. The doc and Turbo might have their hands full today.
Yeah. You know, you keep saying that once a couple go by, and then you're like, well, what about this one?
Yeah. I love cows in general, so it's hard to judge, because somebody, if you're standing at the end of the line, you feel like the judge didn't like my cow. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily the case with me. I liked your cow fine. I just like some of the other ones a little bit better.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's one of the things about this show and about being a judge is you got to take your fan hat off and start to analyze and make choices. And that makes it a little bit different.
Yeah, definitely. That's a great way of putting it, because I think some people are very concerned with the placings of, and yeah, it's not fun to be at the end, at the wrong end of the line. But like you said, I mean, when you've got stiff competition like this, you know, just sometimes it's not your day, and it's one man or woman's opinion for that show.
Absolutely. One of the other things that genetics has done, and IVF's been a part of this as well, but it's really leveled the playing field as far as the quality of cattle down the line, like we've talked about. And when it gets to be like that, one of the things that matters is actually how well the guys back in the barn and how well the folks at home worked with their cows and got them ready, because some days a cow might not feel good and she might not come out. And out here, when the class is this good, when the quality is this good, when there's been genetics spread up and down the line that's this good, you know, you can find yourself with a cow that maybe could have won one day, but today she's down the middle.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, and we talked about that a little bit the other day, of just getting them tuned in for today is like a science or an art almost, you know, of what goes into just leading up to this 30 minutes that they have in this class. Could really make or break you, you know, because you were saying that shows that you've judged, you know, you've seen cows before, but they got them tuned in for today. It really changes your opinion.
I've judged several cows several different times, different shows, and honestly, I know from a fact their results have varied depending on how they were presented.
Yep.
And what the competition looked like and how it was presented as well. It's just, it is a real art. That's why they give guys like John Erbsen the Klusendorf Award, or Joel Phoenix the McKenzie Award, is because they've perfected the art. They're guys that are respected for what they can do and how they can do it, and how their animals have been presented.
Yeah, so. Definitely.
He's done almost all his close inspection now, Emily. So waiting to see if Pierre and Ricciardi they're going to get their first pull in here. But yeah. Just a wonderful group of cows out here.
Yeah.
In the 4-year-old class.
Definitely.
I'm sure all the crowd has their favorites out here. So it'll be interesting to see their reaction when he pulls his first cow into to the first row. It's one of the great things when I came here and the first time in 1998 was listening to the crowd react to the cows as they were as they were pulled in, and how many people are rooting for certain cows and fan favorites out there, crowd favorites out there. Really makes the show a lot of fun.
Oh yeah,
Pierre's been doing a great job trying to get the crowd involved. Not something that everyone does or really can do. So it's been a really great show to watch these guys judge and watch these guys work.
Yeah.
They call it a show for a reason.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's doing a good job of pumping up the crowd, and I liked his little jog he did to psych people out in the intermediate champion.
Usually if Pierre is probably running somewhere, it's because he's late to the ring. So it was great to see him get a couple steps in today at a faster pace other than walking the ring today.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, just a really great group out here. Pierre is, of course, a legend, not just in Quebec and Canada, but North America and worldwide. Some great cows have come out of his herd. Cows that have been amazing. He's either found or bred himself, whether it's Storm Crystal or James Rose. James Rose, one of the greatest uttered cows in the breed's history. Just a cow that I think is respected by almost everybody worldwide as far as what that quality that she was, you know, that quality she had. She was moderately sized, beautifully uttered, and just a true, you know, true dairy cow, true Holstein cow, like real true type model. There comes Turbo. Followed by another cow from Quebec here. The Doc coming in third. So I didn't do bad, Emily.
Yeah, you called it.
Yeah, didn't do bad. The two girls get out there in the top three. We'll see how the class ends, but lots of great cows being pulled in now.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But it's not final yet. He still could change his mind, right? That has happened.
He could move it around, and that's why you do lineups. It's so you can see him not just out on the ringside parading around in the circle. You can get them put together beside each other and really analyze them. Side by side to determine which cow you really like and which cow you really want to get up the line with.
Yeah.
It's the great thing is when you actually can see a judge that can do those things and not just place them from the ringside and then sticks with the placing. It's they actually analyze what they're looking at once they get them in a different setting.
Yeah, and they take the extra time to go through them again.
It's one of those things about respecting the show, but also wanting to make sure that you do it the way that you want to do it as well.
Yeah,
you
know? Definitely.
Being honest with yourself about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a little log jam here in the middle while they're cleaning a couple cows up, trying to get into third place. The Doc, that pile of manure there might be worth a lot out of $1 million cow. Doc stopped there in the middle of the ring. What a beautiful rear end on that cow. Really, really great rear outer, big rump structure, wide rump structure.
Yeah.
That balance of Turbo up in first.
Nice.
Just a beautiful, beautiful cow.
Yep. The cows are antsy today. The cool weather has them feeling their oats a little bit. We've had a few that are not wanting to cooperate.
Yeah, they definitely have their hair up on end. That's for sure. They're feeling good, right? So,
yeah.
You know, that cool air, they get a breath of it and they're ready to go out. So, it's always nice if your cow's got a lot of energy, you don't have to drag her around the ring, but there's definitely the opposite effect sometimes if they're just a little bit overexcited. It's trying to keep them calm so you can get them to parade the way you want them to and to be active and engaged in the show. And I know that might sound odd saying that to get them engaged in the show, but these cows definitely understand what they're doing.
Yeah, definitely.
When they get side by side, there's real legs of Turbo are just
just unreal.
Oh, yeah.
Just beautiful legs on that cow, and just udders just welded onto him. Mm-hmm. Just beautiful cow. One of my favorites last year, and looks like she's still looking pretty good.
Yeah, she looks really good.
The king duck's probably 6 inches longer than every other cow out here from nose to tail. Just length of body. Mm-hmm. Just tremendous length of body. That's a dairy characteristic, that length and dairiness. Mm-hmm. Starting the second line. It would be interesting to know how many of these cows out here have worked this year already through systems or Transovas mm-hmm. or others. How many of them are already being worked and already have embryos in the tank?
Yeah, but, definitely.
We know for sure that that all of them are going to see some ET work in the future.
Oh, definitely, so. Yeah. So, obviously, Turbo is pretty popular and was the one to beat in this class. What is the buzz in the barn of who else is the one to beat today? Or this week, I guess. Not just in the Holsteins, but...
Oh, I mean, the buzz in the barn, there's always a lot of hype in the barn. You know, last year, Shakira was the name you heard all the time. Shakira. Mm-hmm. Lots of talk about Footloose this year, the reserve grand champion from last year. If you've seen her in the barn... You know, you would understand why. Just a cow that has just an incredible rear udder, body size, rib structure, the epitome of a Holstein cow. When we talk about breed character, each breed has different characteristics, and it's not always the way their head is shaped. We're talking about things that are common to that breed, right? So Brown Swiss are beautiful feet and legs, wonderful feet. Brown Swiss have wonderful feet. Mm-hmm. Strength. Broadness of chest and muzzle. And Holsteins, you know, we all want that broadness of muzzle, but Footloose has that very big distinguished muzzle, that big Holstein head on her, but she has that sweep of the rib that works down from her crops and her withers, and she still blends so smoothly, and just an incredible udder. It's her capacity and that dairy quality that there's characteristics of Footloose that get everybody wound up. And I've seen plenty of cows that have had the hype in the barn not end up being the champion cow that week. So we don't hold our breath too much. But, but if you polled everybody back in the exhibition halls, back in the cow barns, I would say that a lot of people are talking about Footloose today.
Yeah.
One of the other cows, she was just left the ring. We've already talked about her. Lots of people talking about that red and white senior
three-year-old.
And what show she was going to show in, because you're only allowed to show in one show here if you're a Holstein. So if you're a red Holstein, you have to pick the red show or the black show. Lots of people wondering what show she was going to show in. So we found out yesterday when she didn't come out in the reds that she was coming out today, and she lived up to the hype. She's intermediate champion today.
Yeah.
So sometimes the hype is real. You know, we've all been trained and taught to look for certain things. So a lot of us are looking at the same things other people are, and sometimes these placings come down to little differences that are personal preference.
Yep. And some things that we probably can't see from all the way up here.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We're lucky enough to be sitting in a suite overlooking the ring, but we don't get to see every single thing. You can't tell exactly how much spring to the rib these cows have,
right?
Or how they look comparatively when they're standing side by side.
Yep.
And that's why we're up here talking, and Pierre's down there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely. Otherwise, lots of people excited about some of the cows. A lot of the favorites have won this year, which tends to happen. But Thunder Faye repeats as champion. Yep. Brown Swiss, a cow that's been out in the center a lot, never could get past her stablemate Delilah, and Delilah's retired now. So so here's Faye's turn. The last 2 years, we've seen return champions claim senior champion titles, but we've also seen younger cows jump up and be grand to shows. The red and white show, for example, the intermediate champion, 3-year-old, was grand to the red and white show, and a different red and white cow than that showed in the black show that was intermediate champion, but a cow that then was grand, and kind of we saw a passing of the torch there in that breed, as Jolene and Fanny were out in the aged cow class, and two cows that had won before, and And yeah, there goes Turbo.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, he likes those three in that order. And that makes sense. I think the cow in second follows Turbo in pattern a little bit closer than Doc. But I would say that if you polled a lot of people, there's people here that could have seen Doc up the line today.
Yep.
So, and that's where personal preference gets into it, especially when you're talking about, you know, three cows that are on the upper end of the spectrum.
Right, yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, just a lot of great cows out there this week. The Melking Shorthorn Champion 3-year-old is just another perfect example of genetic progress. That cow is just a really beautiful Melking Shorthorn cow. Ruthless won the Ayrshire Show.
Yeah, Ruthless.
Follows on the tradition of her mother. Tommy Call led Ruthless yesterday. I got to look at her from the ringside. I was always on the halter of her mother when we were out there standing in the middle, so it was good to see Ruthless win. Ruthless had a lot of hype coming in for the Ayrshire Champion this year. A lot of people thought she was the favorite, and she got to the winner's circle. Repeat Guernsey Champion this year. And what a beautiful Guernsey cow. This cow's been champion multiple times, and it's great to see her out there in the age cow class, 14 months fresh, looking really great. The Guernsey Junior Champion is just a beautiful heifer. Just a beautiful heifer. And the same could be said, really, the Jersey Junior Champion, just a gorgeous heifer. And just the length of neck combined with the frame size and the feet and legs that go along with it, just really beautiful cows.
So common theme, stiff competition across the board for later today of who's going to come out on top. So just have to wait and see. We won't pick because this will come out after, and we don't want to look.
Somebody's going to be laughing at me if I pick the wrong cow here, but I haven't been back in the barns. But irregardless, whoever's champion today and supreme later in the day today, as always, just going to be the top of the dairy industry as far as show cows concerned, and really, you know, just adds a lot of value. But this show and what everybody does here, this is all about value.
Well, is there anything that we didn't cover that we should?
I don't think so. I'm just glad that I said Turbo was going to get to the front end.
You were right.
And Turbo gets to the front end. Somebody would say it wouldn't take a rocket scientist, though. But beautiful, three beautiful cows at the top of this 4-year-old class. You could mix them up any way you wanted to. But I think the take-home message is just ridiculous animals out here, just of not just what they can do or what they represent from as bovines, but just in general, just beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful to watch them walk around the ring.
Yeah, definitely. It's like runway models a little bit. Yeah.
Absolutely. This is the top end of the spectrum. These cows don't participate in commercial dairy, right? They're not out in the herd. This is a different part of our industry, and but it's a part of the industry that draws a lot of excitement and keeps people invested in dairy, and whether we can see it or not, this show and the events like it, they breed a lot of the forward thinking and a lot of the progress that we make all the time. So I think that's about it, Emily. Otherwise, I'll end on a high note with Turbo going around the ring today, and hopefully we have a great champion here at the end of the day, and this Wisconsin weather holds off a little bit longer till I get back to Maryland.
It doesn't get this cold in Maryland?
It will, but usually not in October, so I'm looking forward to getting back below the Mason-Dixon line.
Yeah, well, I'm ready for fall, so this is perfect, but
pumpkin spice.
Amen. I love it. Well, thanks, Mike, again for sitting here and chatting with me. I think it's cool to give people a inside listen into the mind of a judge and Transova employee while we're watching one of the most popular classes, I think, here. And the stands are packed, and it's going to be a good rest of the day here at World Dairy.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Emily. It's awesome. I'm going to keep sitting here watching this cow show.
Well, we'll have to have some spotted cow after hours.
You can't come to Wisconsin without some spotted cow.
That's right. So. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks, Mike. And we will catch you all next time on the Powered by Transova podcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to Transova. If you have any topics you'd like to hear more about, send an email to moreinformation@transova.com. Thank you.